Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, trans and non-binary punks of all ages and denominations, welcome back to another episode of Not Just a Phase, and thanks for joining us here in our fourth season. If you're new here, let me get this out of the way really quick. We're online at notjustaphase.net, Instagram and TikTok at notjustaphaseworldwide. We're on Twitter at NJAPworldwide. We have a Patreon with video podcasts and bonus content if you want to help support the expansion of the podcast and the blog spot and all the other content we continue to create for you. Big shout out to our video editing team at Blanco Medea, who are also the boys from Medulla Lunar. Make sure you check them out and give them a follow as well, please. Today on the show, we have Senza, an Italian word for without, and a name that is well known and respected throughout heavy music communities for being a band that writes some of the most profoundly sinister music you'll ever hear. Their debut full-length album, Even a Worm Will Turn, was released in May of 2019 on Zegama Beach Records and Middleman Records, an album that changed my perception of heavy music and hit the screamo community as well as the mathcore community like a fucking earthquake. I still don't personally think I'll ever hear an album that I consider to be more evil sounding than Even a Worm Will Turn, but they did just release a new EP about 2 weeks ago called Celestial Body that did somehow live up to my very high expectations. Even a Worm Will Turn was one of my very first screamo vinyl that I ever purchased way before I dreamed of a podcast and blog spot here. And it's still one of my most played albums. So you're all going to have to forgive me for fanboying like a motherfucker during this, this podcast. I will try to remain professional. You can grab a copy of Celestial Body. Zegama Beach Records has some left. I think the Purple Merge variant is already sold out. I know I cop one and I was hoping it would be here any day, but there might be one or two left. I think they're crazy. Running low, but they got two or three variations, right? And Dog Knights has some, and Batu Records. The artwork and the variants are just stunning in photos. I cannot wait to have my own copy show up any day now. And Elias is here on the mic to co-host this very special episode with us. We are beyond excited for it. Elias, thanks for coming to join us. How's everybody feeling today?
Feeling good. Yeah, feeling good. Excited to be here.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
Very much the same.
Can we get your names and like what role you play in the instruments so that the listeners will recognize your voices if they're not seeing faces?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Helena. I play guitar.
And I'm Mason, and I play drums. And we both do vocals. And Tim, who's not here on bass, also does vocals.
We all do, yep.
plan to get into that the absurdity of the vocals in the chat before we kick into getting into you guys and like your work and everything else. Have you listened to this podcast before?
I have not yet before. I'm excited. I don't know what I'm in store for.
Yeah, same. I don't really listen to a lot of music podcasts, so I don't know what I'm getting myself into.
Excellent.
That's the preference. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, we'll see.
Hopefully everyone's enjoying themselves by the end of it.
Hey everyone, this is Mason from Senza, and you're about to listen to Saved from His Grace off our new EP, Celestial Body.
I'm not just a phase.
I'm not just a phase.
We'll be right back.
So you don't listen to too many music podcasts. Is there any other podcasts that you two are listening to in your free time?
Yeah, I listen to some podcasts. I don't know. I listen to The Yard. I listen to just silly podcasts. I don't know.
What's the yard about?
It's just silly guys being silly men about silly things, and sometimes I talk about Super Smash Bros. Melee. I don't know. It's Ludwig from YouTube and his friends. I don't know.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I
Massive
usually
Melee fan.
listen. I usually listen to like stuff on like Cool Zone Media, like Behind the Bastards, cool people who did cool things, kind of more like leftist aligned, like political podcasts that are still like fun listens, you know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We are not cool people doing cool things. We're music
I
dorks
you kind of
dorking
are. I don't know.
This I think the I don't know. Music podcast cool.
Yeah, other ones maybe.
Yeah. Debatable.
No, we're ha we love what we do. We love what we do. But outside of music though, and enjoying the podcasts, do you have any other hobbies that like occupy your time?
Yeah, I'm a stay-at-home dad, so I spend a lot of time with my kid. But I
Hell
mean,
yeah.
like, I've got hobbies, lots of hobbies other than music. I play disc golf. I used to be really into that, but not as much into it. As of late, I play lots of video games. I play rhythm games. So, and, I grew up playing D Dance Dance Revolution, but
Nice.
I play like Beatmania 2DX and BMS now. And my wife and I like to go rock climbing when we have time. It's hard to find time when you've got a 2-year-old, but those are things we like to. I like to do. I don't know. Helena's got different interests.
My red flag is my other hobby is starting bands.
Don't we know it?
There's always working on something different, I guess.
All right. Awesome. So, we're going to try to start off real simple and work our way through the history and all that, but like way before Senza happens and even some of your other bands that you've been in, Helena.
Yeah.
How did you all first get into like alternative music, like punk music, and like what does that pipeline look into screamo?
Yeah, so for me, I want to say I was really attached to this F-Zero game for the GameCube, F-Zero GX, and I was trying to
Wow.
learn. I was like 12, 13, 14, somewhere around there, and I was trying to learn how to do some like specific speed running technique in that game. And so like I was watching these like world record videos of like some of the racetracks and stuff. And one of them had Numb by Linkin Park as the soundtrack for it. And I watched that video like over 50 times, and I just got super attached to that song and like Linkin Park in general. And I think like from Linkin Park I got into The Used, and from The Used I got into Under Oath. And I remember calling Under Oath screamo at one point on YouTube comments, and someone was like, "That's not screamo, this is what screamo is." And someone linked
Damn.
me Circle Takes the Square,
Oh,
and
shit.
I've kind of like that blew my mind. That like fucked me up. And so yeah, I've been on screamo since then, just like 16, 17-year-old me was hooked.
Hell
That's great.
yeah.
That's rad.
I mean, for me, I when I was younger, I was listening to like, it's been a long journey in my musical taste. When I was like in elementary school, I listened to like Christian ska punk because I was like a goody two
Nice.
shoes little Christian boy. And then in middle school, I got into like POD, which yeah. So like, that, I mean, honestly, that might be like my first like heavy music. Probably was POD.
Yeah.
And then in high school, I got into like more like pop punky stuff. And then I had friends that were someone online was like, "Yo, you gotta listen to Escape the Fate." And so I really like Escape the Fate for a long time. Was that band's
Hell
like super problematic, of
yeah.
course. But then from there, got into like. I know, like Silver Scene, and then like the Devil Wears Prada, and then eventually got into the Fall of Troy. I was very, very into the Fall of Troy. They were like my big band for a long time, and On the Fall of Troy fan forums, someone like created a little compilation. It was like Real Screamo Compilation Volumes 1 and 2. And it had like Seisha and I Write Haikus and Bonavir and like and Tunes for Bears to Dance, for Bears to
Oh,
Dance
shit.
too. I really like that band. But like had all those stuff on there, and also there was like a Circle Takes a Square appreciation thread on that forum as well. And so those were like my first like Screamo bands, and I was like, whoa. After a moment, I was like, wait, I really like this Screamo thing. I spent a lot of time listening to like Life Moves by Bon Iver, and like End Ship by Matsuri and stuff. Like
Fuck yeah.
that was my like really like records that got me in the very beginning for sure.
Damn, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, I
Got
did
some,
not
yeah,
expect
that's some.
Linkin Park and POD.
Yeah, I was waiting for a Head P reference. Wait, are they a Christian band? No. Wait, are they?
I don't know, I haven't heard.
Oh, you might like, if you still like POD, you might like Head P.
I mean, I listen to POD like as like a, I'm like, this is hilarious. And
Yeah.
I'll be like, wow, I was so young listening to this music. It's so funny.
Yeah, equally hilarious, I would add.
Yeah.
Okay, very
Unironically
cool.
jammed Youth of the Nation the other day, though, just for the record.
We
Song, like
are,
that
we
song
are.
specifically. Still bangs. Still
That album
bangs.
came out on 9/11/2001.
Oh shit, did
Wow.
it? So did God Hates
Yeah,
Us All by Slayer.
I
Which
have a.
is just rotten.
I had a buddy that I went like middle school and elementary school with, and he had like the poster release date for that thing, and I was like, holy shit, what the fuck?
Damn, that's kind of iconic now.
It's pretty sick.
It's really sick.
I heard the debut day though.
We're always curious, like, since y'all are from like the Portland area, like, the scene's been popping off lately for you guys. There's tons of like really awesome bands that are coming from your area and of course Oregon at large. So, besides like Gilded Age, do you know like any other local bands that you'd like to share with us? Like, kind of put us on.
There's this band called The Names of Our Friends that's really good.
I think we've heard of them,
I don't
actually.
think I
Yeah.
know them. They're
Yeah,
pretty new, right?
I think they're super
Recently
new.
came around. Yeah.
Teenuf?
Helena would
Yeah.
know more about Portland bands. I'm from Eugene, so I don't.
For anyone that's not familiar, that's one of my other Screamo bands. Screamo in Portland, like shout out Gilded Age for sure. They're not active, but Matt Taylor from that band is the guy that did the tracking and mixing for our new EP.
Hell
So
yeah.
shout out Matt.
That's the best.
Cherry and Spring have been doing it forever. They're still doing it. Got some new music coming out soon, I hear. There's this new young band called Priscilla that I'm super into. Just they don't have any music out yet, but we the names of our friends on our tour kickoff played with them. One of their first few shows. They're really good.
Brain
What
making.
do they play? Do they do
Priscilla?
screamo or? Yeah.
It's kind of like noisy, shrill vocal, chaotic screamo stuff.
Awesome.
And yeah, I'm excited for them to release music. Definitely a band to keep an eye out for. Rainmaking for sure, Mason just mentioned. I don't know. Portland's that's all the bands that I can think of that I'd be like, I would call this a screamo band. So there's a lot
Right.
of like other like heavier, like not strictly hardcore bands that are doing stuff in Portland too. Eugene, you got like oh, what's that band called? There's this kid who's been doing like so many screamo bands in Eugene right
Oh
now.
yeah, I remember who
He
you're
was like
talking about.
Flyora's Bullet, and now it's something else. They just booked that show for Othiel like a month ago that I'm just blanking on the band's name right now because screamo band names all sound the same and blend together at a certain point. It's one of those band names that's like words that are all smashed together.
Yeah.
No space, no space bar involved, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. I'll remember it
Yeah,
at some point and then
lowercase.
I'll shout it out in the middle of the
All right. That sounds good. Anytime is appropriate for that, so feel free.
podcast.
Yeah, by all means, cut us off at any time we're talking. It's fine.
Cool. Okay.
Getting into the your band. Like, Senza is one of the most distinct sounds, from the vocals to the guitar tones to the writing style. I'm curious what inspires your sound or writing process when you're all getting together to create. Like, what your influences you would consider, if any.
Yeah, I think
Doesn't have to be musical, right? Like, if Smash Bros. Melee is
Smash Bros.
the
Melee might be one of
inspiration.
our biggest influences,
I mean,
honestly.
honestly, yeah. We used to bring the CRT into the studio and on tour for sure. It was definitely a member of the band was the TV and the setup.
Fuck yeah.
I heard that on the podcast that you did with David from Zegamo Beach there on Open
Yeah.
Mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun. I mean, I don't know, when Tim and I first started playing a band, I mean, he definitely like he was like, "You want to be like Jerome's Dream?" And I was like, "Yeah, I want to, yeah, it sounds good." So like definitely there was that inspiration. I know that when Tim was writing guitar parts, he definitely had like he's always like looked up to like Loma and stuff, but I don't know, Helena. And I don't know, it's been different since it became the three piece. Helena, what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, like Jerome's Dream for sure. Like the way that I play guitar in general is like super influenced by like Orchid and metalcore, for better and for worse. Like it is a lot of like drop tuning and octaves. Like that is kind of the basis of Senza. And then as we've at least guitar wise, as we've gone on as a band, like it's kind of just morphed into something more. I don't know. It's built off of that foundation, I guess. I listen to a lot of like black metal, like specifically like Cascadian black metal or like dissonant black metal, and that's kind of like where a lot of my current like headspace and direction is. And even in even A Worm Will Turn, like that was kind of like where I think I was headed. In a songwriting space, we just had a lot more like screamo roots built at that point. But yeah, I don't know. That is definitely like influence for me, I guess.
When it comes to me like writing like my drum parts, I think I look to like drummers like Chris Penny and like the early Dillinger Escape Plan material and things like I said, I was really big into the Fall of Troy, so Andrew Forsman from the Fall of Troy was a big influence to me as a drummer. So like I always just try to like fill the space and like you know, I rhythmically accompany whatever the strings have got going on.
Strange that I'm not a massive black metal fan. In fact, I'm not really into black metal, but blackened genres, love
Yeah,
it.
we're all baffled by
Something,
this.
yeah.
I
Genuinely,
mean,
I don't know. I just can't get into black
there's
metal too
that.
much, but I
There's
know
some
it
good
makes
black
sense.
metal stuff.
Yeah.
People
I
keep
think you'd
telling
like
me
Don
that.
Raid.
What
Don Raid is
was that
cool.
one, Elias?
I think you'd like Don Raid. I don't actually know
Okay.
if you'd like Don Raid. I just
I
really
don't
like
know.
Don Raid.
We played with
We've
Don
played with
Raid
them,
once.
yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Once upon a time at the Wandering Goat in Eugene, Oregon, in like 2018 or 2019.
Holy shit, that's
It was
awesome.
before our LP came out, but we were like playing mostly songs from that.
Okay, sick.
So I wanted to talk vocal technique because I feel like people would be pissed if I didn't ask. You all scream and somehow don't use microphones, which is
Yeah.
fucking mind-boggling. So like you are screaming to get over your, to be playing loud, and you get the point. You're screaming over your instrumentals, your live instrumentals. That's insane. How do you do it that loud without blowing out your vocal cords? How do you hit the pitch that high? And how do the three of you scream in keys where it's all in similar scale? Like it like Yeah, at a certain point when I was told like the three of you were screaming, I was like, no, that's like one person. Like it's so harsh. The notes, I was like, what? Like, and then I saw live videos and just like, fuck. Like, tell me how this works. I've seen it on video and I still can't comprehend it.
Tim does a better job, I think, of describing this, but what I think that like it has to just do with because of the pitch that we're accessing, it's like the frequencies are so high, it like cuts over the tones of the instruments and stuff. But like What helps honestly is that our sets aren't very long, and so like despite like doing quite a bit of vocals, it's like kind of like a compact, dense amount of music. So I don't know if Helena has any other points, but like yeah, I feel like that's what allows us to make it work.
Yeah.
Desperation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think if it was any one of us doing vocals for the entire thing, like it would not work out very well. And so it's nice to have it split between the three of us so that we can all share. And like when we were on tour, there was moments where it's just like, oh, this person's not feeling very good tonight. Like they're gonna sit out vocals, and then we like pick up the slack and stuff like that. But yeah, like the pitch of it, it seems to sit pretty well, like above guitar, below cymbals, and it just kind of like accesses this space that's not being occupied. So you like genuinely don't have to scream that loud to be heard over the music. I don't know.
It just
It's just,
somehow works.
yeah, it's just kind of one of those things where it's just like we were like, oh, Jerome's Dream did that. We should try it, and it just kind of worked.
Insane.
You heard it here first, everyone. It's magic.
It's magic.
Yeah.
Magic's real. Senza has access to
I honestly, one of my
it.
favorite things is when we play a show and someone comes up to me and was like, I was sitting outside and I can still hear your vocals. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
That's
There's a
crazy.
scientist in the scene somewhere who like has some kind of adjacent knowledge of like frequencies and sound. We will
Yeah.
find them, and we will put this to them, and we'll
Sounds
do
good.
yeah, we'll get a deep dive video out of it.
I need to see the math on the whiteboard,
The
a
sound
thesis
waves on
paper.
a
The numbers meme pops up. Yeah, okay. So no lore explained, just it just works because you do it and somehow it happens. Okay.
Some would
I
say it's the
mean,
power of friendship.
Mason's been doing it. Like Mason and I played in a screamo band together in like 2011, 2012, and he was doing it back then before like we were even trying to be in a band that sounded like Jerome's Dream. Like Mason's had
100%.
access to it for longer than I have. I just learned how to do it because he and Tim were doing it.
Right on. What
How
band
did
was
you
that
learn
again?
how to do it? How did you? Oh, yeah, that's a good question too.
Mason
We were in a
just
band called
calling it,
Scissure.
got big lungs.
I smoked a lot of weed, so my lung capacity is very big.
That bongo breathing technique.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
Just
Yeah, we
fat
had a we
rips.
had an old band called Caesura, just another
Yes.
Italian music reference. Yeah, back in the day, a long time ago.
Hell yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Can you guys tell us about the recording experience and working with Richard Chownhill on this release for the Celestial Body EP? And hopefully, I said that Chownhill correctly.
I think so. I guess I haven't heard it out loud before.
Neither have I.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, I don't know, Mason, if you want to talk about the recording experience, then I can talk about working with Richard, or I can.
Let's do that. Yeah,
Yeah.
so recording was cool because we had recorded this material already a few years back and weren't satisfied with the quality. If you'd listened to the ZBR podcast, we talked about a little bit about that. But basically, I went in and recorded the drums on like one day by myself, like not by myself because Helena was there and Matt was there as well from Gilded Age. It was nice because we just did drums that one day, and then like it wasn't until like I think Helena had time to like just because Helena lives in Portland near Matt and was able to just like lay down the guitar like on her own time. And then we all went up like in January because we did I think drums in November, and then like January we all went up as a group and Tim did his bass and then we all did vocals and we had a sleepover and played a fun game with balancing these things. I can't remember what it's called, but it was very silly.
We just call it
But
stick game.
we did call it Stick Game. It does have an official name, but I like it. I like calling it Stick Game. Very, very fun. The recording itself was really great. I think that, especially when it came time to recording, even Wormal Turn and this time around, like I feel like we were generally really prepared. And when it comes time to like actually like hit the record button, we get it out pretty quick, and it feels pretty good. So recording with this band has always been really nice, I think. And so doing it up there with Matt was good, and I'm not sure what we'll be doing in the future, but I'm always looking forward to doing more music, so.
Yeah. And then working with Richard was, I don't know, such a, like, he's just got a really good ear for things and was able to like help us out in a lot of different ways. Like, so Senza played a show with Agriculture in Eugene, like around the time that we were talking about recording this EP again, since we weren't happy with the first recording of it. And basically, like that band had told us, like, yeah, when you put out new music, like send it to us, we want to hear it. And so we eventually sent them over the like a rough mix of the EP, and because we hadn't really, I think we were just planning on going with Brad Boatwright again because that's who mastered the LP. But when they heard it, they were like, oh, like you should talk to Richard. I think like he would want to like help y'all with this. And so I just spent, you know, a lot of back and forth with Richard, and he had a lot of ideas about like things that we could do to like alter the mix in ways that would like help it sound the way that we wanted it to sound and stuff like that. And so he kind of like co-produced it with us in that way, and then mastered it at the end. And we're definitely really happy to have his ear on that, especially with him being kind of more like Matt being more into the punk side of things, and then Richard being more into the like metal and black metal side of things. Like it was a good ear to have on that, and we're definitely looking forward to working with him again for future stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love agriculture. They're just the best.
They're fucking incredible. I haven't been lucky enough to see I've seen them live yet. I've been sleeping on those live shows, but they're so fucking cool.
We've played with them twice now. I hope to do it again.
Yeah, their live set is a very like spiritual experience. Like I'm full of so much joy every time I see them. They're like my favorite band to see live right now.
Yeah, I mean all the hype they get is just so aggressively deserved.
So, I'm a bassist first and foremost. I know Tim is not here with us for this chat, but aside of the ampegs that are being used, what is making that tone so ridiculously good? Is it a pedal? Like, what is the secret? An extra thick pick or something? Because that's like,
Yeah,
it's such a
so
distinct bass tone. Yeah. Please, what is the secret in that sauce?
I don't remember the brand of his bass. Tim's bass setup is the most like I mean this as a compliment, but the most ridiculous thing.
Okay.
He has a bass that he's sounded down to the wood. He's taken all of the guts out of, so it's just direct in basically. There's no tone knob, there's no volume knob. He hasn't changed
That's what
his
this is.
strings since
What
2017.
It's 2017. They must be so bald. Like, that's
Yeah,
crazy.
and then so what he does is he has I want to say it's like a TS9 clone, and then another I can't remember exactly what distortion he has, like two distortion pedals I want to say, and then a blender, and he has, you know, basically going for that like kind of cleaner low end, and then like really really like aggressive distortion on the high end, so that it like it has this almost it has such like a mechanical sound to it. It's very aggressive. And he's just like if it ain't broke, don't fix it, including the bass strings. Like I don't know,
That's insane.
it's such a cool setup. And on top of that, he also plays in cello tuning, so it's stacked fifths instead of fourths. So it's
What?
like we play in drop B, so it's B, F, C, G. So it has
Yeah.
like the tonal range of a five string, with just the four strings, and he can hit power chords anywhere on the fretboard with just a single finger. He's got big ass Tim hands, so.
Well, I'm sure from just working those strings over the years too. Holy
Yeah.
shit, that's a setup.
It's crazy. It's so cool.
Yo,
I love
that's
Tim
like
so much.
I'm so glad I asked, because I saw a picture and I'm like, Ampeg SDTs don't sound like, they do sound like that, but not like that. I'm like, well, there's
Yeah,
not specifically.
something there.
Yeah. All right. Well,
That's
Tim, I don't know if you're gonna
unbelievable.
listen to this, but if y'all want to tell him, Tim, you're fucking cooking, buddy. Like what you're
You
doing,
change the
that's
strings. That's insane.
like I've heard some insane setups, but like holy shit, that's like ground up crazy.
He's definitely just been like making things work for him since I've known him. He's like, I don't want to buy new gear. Like, I just have this stuff. I'm gonna make it work. And like, he's very into that. I really respect that mindset for sure.
Hell yeah,
Fuck,
he's
I love
killing
that.
it. Yeah.
That's so epic. So we did want to get into like kind of a little bit more of the meat of the album, right? It's you said you had recorded it before and then you re-recorded it. I'm not quite sure when that was for Celestial Body, but Even a Worm Will Turn comes out in 2019. For some of our listeners who may not know, the phrase "even a worm will turn" is a bit of a metaphor for even the meek, even the weak will eventually find resistance in them and retaliate. And so that's an album very strongly built on that intention in a number of ways, which is, yes, it has like this like huge, like dark evil sound, but it's clearly like written as an act of very strong defiance. So, that's 2019, 2020 hits, pandemic. We're living under multiple psychopathic presidencies. Now Celestial Body comes out. Can you draw us the thread between like that, like kind of going from that album to the writing process for Celestial Body and like where you were like in the headspace while all this is happening and you're writing this album? I know it's like a really big question, but
I don't know. It's kind of weird, 'cause like, so for instance, the middle track on Celestial Body, Cruel Ends Reflect Cruel Existence, was a track that in some shape and form we had been playing live since before Even a Worm Will Turn came out. Like, I think there's a video of us playing at Post 134 in Portland a few months before that. Like, we had recorded it already, but the album hadn't dropped yet, and we had already put that song into our set. So it was kind of something that we've been just like working on for a long time. And yeah, I don't know. It wasn't necessarily like, I don't know. It's weird because like that song came up first, and we kind of had just been slowly riding together for a while, but I feel like a lot of that EP didn't come together until COVID times. Like, I remember us not being able to meet up, and like me just like sitting on my laptop, like on Guitar Pro, just kind of like writing by myself for a while, and then we would kind of like bounce ideas off each other online. Yeah, and then coming up with like lyrics and stuff were interesting too, because we kind of like collaborated on that all together. I want to say that I had the lyrics written for the first track, and then like Mason and Rosa wrote a lot of the rest of it together, using kind of the lyrics that I had written for the first track as a foundation for it.
Shout out, Rosa.
Yeah, shout out
Love
Rosa.
Rosa.
But yeah, like the I don't know, the those lyrics to me at the time mean something different to what they mean to me now, because a lot of the lyrics for me for Celestial Body are about like gender and like being transgender and stuff like that, and but then also like it as something that is like threatened by both like toxic masculinity and also like capitalism and the way that fascism dictates the way that people are allowed to present themselves, like first and foremost, and like the way that like fascism dictates like the way that sex and gender works in our society and stuff like that. And so it's kind of like I wrote a lot of it around the time that I was like thinking about transitioning and like all of this stuff. And so like in some ways it is not like a fall, it is still a defiance to fascism and capitalism, but in just a different way, at least for me specifically. And I know I'm not like the only person who contributed to the lyrics, but that's kind of the thread and the theme is just like kind of taking one specific, because like I would say that Imposter, the track off of Even a Worm Will Turn, was kind of the start of me writing in that direction. And so I would say that that is the start of the thread leading towards Celestial Body as far as like themes and lyrics go.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if Mason has anything to add to that.
I mean, no, I don't. I think that I have little memory of actually writing those lyrics, and I love the lyrics that we have. So, yeah, that was a time.
Yeah. No, that's totally makes sense. It's all good. It's been so many years, and I absolutely feel that. And I know that you recently have come out on the band page and made a statement that, like, hey, this is anti-fascist music. Like, this is literally what it's built upon. And so, that's what it stands for. So get the fuck out if you're not down with that. And I
Well,
appreciate that.
and like even I felt that it was especially important with this new EP. The closer our sound gets to black metal, the closer that I like feel like I'm like, hey, if you're new to our music, you're into this genre, and I don't know, black metal is such a tumultuous genre of music to navigate. There's a lot
Or
of
do you mean?
bad stuff out there, and I want to make sure that people who are hearing us for the first time, or people who have like run into it and like you can't understand any of the lyrics, like listening to it, you could listen to the whole album and not know what anything means, if you didn't want to figure that out. And so I just want to make it as clear as I can to anyone, whether they're an old fan or just finding us, right now, that like that is
That's who
what
we are.
about, that's who we are, that is a like that this band and anti-fascism are not separate by any means.
They are mutually exclusive, like they exist together.
moving back a little bit to like touching on the lyrics again, I noticed like while because I like to listen and I like to read, and I don't know if I've said this already. Congratulations on this record. It's fucking incredible.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Absolutely love it, and I really love the density of your lyricism and like the playing shorter songs. Like just you all have like that down in a really special way because just everything feels like just the right amount of what it is. And one of the things I really loved, I love when bands reference songs across each other. And so I noticed that Drain the Blood references, I think it's Scrape the Waste at the end. And then Scrape the Waste also references back to the first track because Scrape the Waste is the last song for anyone who's not aware, hasn't listened to this album. Also, what the fuck are you doing not listening to this album or EP? And so I wonder how like if there's if we could connect the dots like with this like sort of circulatory system for the quote unquote celestial body in the lyric writing a little bit more.
Yeah, so like, I am just obsessed with like motif, just idea in general. Like the EP definitely has the book ends, where it's that riff. But then also like the interlude, Isolation is just that same riff, just like played prettier, clean, higher register on the guitar. It's like same thing. And then in Scrape the Waste as well, like in the first half of the song, like it uses that same chord progression for like the like long blast beat section as well. And so like writing it in that way to me, like just like I don't know, like these like things are just going to be ever present, whether it is like dealing with dysphoria or like fighting against against like the powers that be, if you will, like anything like that is just like there are always these constant reminders, like no matter what stage of life you're in, or no matter like how you're navigating it, like these oppressions are going to affect every part of it, right? And so in some ways it's not necessarily meant to be just a beginning and an end, but like hints of it throughout. Like it is like just these are things that exist throughout the whole rather than just like a once off, And so like having the lyrics kind of also, because the lyrics also are the same for the beginning and the end. It's different in the middle for sure with those other like melodic motifs and stuff. But yeah, having the lyrics start and end the same way to me like felt important, but also it kind of like gives way to like I picture it is like the metaphor that I kind of have for the album is like the idea of just like person gets like mauled to death by like a pack of wolves in the woods. The pack of wolves kind of symbolizing the alpha male, the toxic masculinity that comes along with like fascism and stuff like that. And that specifically being like the start and the end of it, and kind of the whole middle part of it being like the final thoughts, like the life flashing before your eyes, kind of like the reliving of your life up until that moment, and then kind of having the beginning and end be the end caps of that. I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of just rambling at this point.
No,
But
no, no.
No, that was good. That was it.
No, I'm seeing the
That's
vision.
what we've talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so the imagery of the wolves tearing someone apart and like that being the narrative of the album. That's so fascinating to me, especially like with with everything that's going on and like your work being about fascism. So I guess what I really want to know next is like this idea of the celestial body, because I'm assuming that based on what you're saying, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, The celestial body is the thing that is it the thing that's being, well, sorry, let me reframe. I guess what I want to know is the celestial body the thing that's being torn apart, or is the celestial body like the sort of ascendancy that can happen once the flesh is like torn away?
It's kind of a combination. So, like, celestial body being the self, celestial body being the self-actualization, but also celestial body being the like literal like reflection of the moon, the moon being this femininity or like androgyny when juxtaposed against like the toxic masculinity of like the wolves and stuff. It is like just a combination of all of that, and like I don't know. And then celestial also just is like kind of key word in my like Mormon upbringing as well, like the idea of like the celestial kingdom being heaven and shit like that I don't have to get into right now, but like
Right.
it's just a lot. It just felt like something I could pull in a lot of directions from.
Yeah. Damn, that's awesome. Because I think of celestial body too, and I think of stars, and I when you think of the physicality of the form, it's like I think of like, what's the Sagan quote? Like we're all made of star stuff or whatever. And so like that feels like this other dimension of like what you were saying about the moon and the reflection of the self in it, that tracks in like a really special way. That's incredible.
Well, and that's kind of too, like, I don't know if you're familiar with like his Dark Materials, like the Golden Compass trilogy.
I am,
Like
yeah.
the like I've
Subtle
always
Knife and yeah.
and
God, I love those books. Oh my
everything
God.
being made out of that dust, in
Yeah.
that similar way as well. I don't know, like, yeah, that's definitely just an ever-present influence on my writing, is just like that book trilogy as well.
That's
But
so real.
yeah,
The third book
everything.
in the new trilogy is coming out soon, hopefully. Oh shit,
Ooh,
really?
ooh.
Damn, I'll check that out. I tell you what, I read those books, I think, in middle school. I didn't know what love was until I read about Baruch and Barthelmess. 100%.
Oh my God.
Real talk.
Mormonism.
Oh
Incredible,
God.
incredible.
Still get chills.
Yeah.
Like, for real, for real. Oh
Wild.
man.
The new books are really good. I recommend them.
Oh man. Okay, I'll try. I haven't touched any of the stuff since I, like read the other stuff. And then they did the TV series and I was kind of like,
I like the TV series.
okay. Maybe I'll give it another go. I wasn't in the right headspace.
I couldn't get into it. It was too slow for me.
They're slow books, but yeah, well, so we did want to actually, now that we've had like this like kind of like thank you by the way for the exposition on the album and like the
Yeah,
lyrics and
totally.
everything.
Yeah. That
And
was in depth.
we know that Nat Lacuna from the Holy Ghost Tabernacle Choir and Rosemary Nods Upon the Grave, listen to both, shout out
Yes.
Nat, did the
Shout out,
artwork.
Nat.
Shout out
Yes.
Nat.
I
And
love that.
I'm wondering like, we were wondering if there was input in that, if y'all had like a specific idea, if you kind of handed it off to Nat, because now hearing about all this, like the idea of like a tree line surrounded by like darkness and like really aggressive framing of something kind of serene, it feels like really purposefully opposite of a really violent cover, like even A Worm Will Turn. So I was wondering like the intentionality behind that and where Nat came in, where you came in, or how that whole thing looked.
Didn't the so like the a lot of the photos that were used in the art that took like the day that we met,
Oh, hell
like
yeah.
as they like were as they like on tour with the Holy Ghost Tabernacle Choir, like driving into Oregon, it was like, wow, look at these beautiful. And then like I think Helena sort of like went and described to Nat like what our new music was about, and Nat was like, oh, I've got these photos, I feel like they're perfect for it.
Yeah, basically what I told Nat is I was just like, yeah, like I gave Nat a couple of references. I think I like pointed out like a Wolves in the Throne Room album art, and that one Over album as well, that's just like the tree line and stuff. And I was like, I want to do something like this, but like a little like the colors are different. I think I specifically told them, I was just like, I want to do this but like gay a little bit. I was like, make it like or something. And they were like, hell yes. And then so we did a bunch of back and forth, but yeah, it is all photos taken off the five between San Francisco and Eugene, which is just so like fucking serendipitous, like that we met on that day and they had taken all of these photos and ended up using them for this album and stuff. And yeah, like I don't know. I could dig through my whole text chat with Nat and talk like find like the intricacies, but I kind of just like let them I gave them the lyrics and gave them like the general vibe of what like the EP and the songs were about, and I was just like, yeah, like this is kind of what I'm thinking, this is the aesthetic that I want, and like they did the border and the frame and like the flower and the moon phase and like all of that stuff was just like them taking that direction. And it's I don't know, it's just cool to have like I don't do visual art, I'm not very good at that, and so like having someone take just the audio and be able to like come up with something visual like that, I was just happy to have someone's interpretation on it so that I didn't feel like stuck in my own head about it.
Right.
And yeah, they did an incredible job with that.
That's fucking awesome. And it
Absolutely
shows.
insane. It fits the aesthetic of like the visuals that Sensa puts out. Just crazy. Crazy. What did like either of you feel any pressure for this EP? Like with the way even A Worm Will Turn was received, was there worry that it wasn't going to be living up to it? Like for this release?
I think that going into recording this material, I've always been saying like I'm really proud of the material that we've been putting out, and like I didn't feel pressure. Maybe I don't want to speak for Helena or Tim, but like I was just excited for it to be out in the world and for people to hear it. The fact that even A Worm Will Turn was received well in the first place is like I'm still very feel like grateful for that. So the fact that anyone's excited about any of my music, I'm just like wow, thank you so much. I definitely was just anxious for it to come out, not like worry what people would think. I think that if anything, like the anxiety that we had on the release would have been the like when we were recording it initially and decided to go in and re-record it. So like if we were gonna put it out at that quality, then yeah, I'm sure I would have been like, oh, I hope people aren't worried. But I think that was the reason, like the whole reason why we decided to do what we did. So.
Right.
Yeah, insanely long wait and worth the
Yeah,
wait, but
sorry.
yeah,
Yeah,
insanely
sorry. Yeah, you owe all of us an apology.
Yeah.
It won't be 5 years before the next thing. We'll just say that.
It's
Yeah,
okay if
that's
it
what I was
is.
gonna ask. I was gonna ask, is there a timeline on the split with was it Rainmaking? Did I get that right? Because I heard you mentioned on the pod with David there. Are you able to say
Basically,
about the timeline?
I need to take responsibility for that one. I've been kind of dropping the ball. I've
Oh.
been like really focused on getting this EP out, and Millie's been hitting me
Of
up being
course.
like, who are we gonna have master this? And then I'll just be like, I don't know, who do you want to master it? And then just like working on these stuff
Toss the
again.
ball back.
Millie has our tracks now. Millie from Rainmaking. They I think Brad Boatwright is mastering these ones.
Nice.
And yeah,
I'm really
hopefully.
stoked on those material too. I think
Yeah.
it's really, I really am proud of that also.
Hell
Yeah.
yeah.
Depending on what we're doing for the physical release will kind of impact the release time. It is very unlikely that it will be out before the end of the year, but I would say it will be out sometime early 2025, if I had to guess.
Hell yeah.
But I
I
believe
take my
Dave.
money.
Yeah, Dave
Hey,
is putting that one out. Those songs are really fun. I feel like,
they're absolutely
yeah.
hyped to hear it. Hyped to hear them for sure.
And also, we're already starting to work on writing more material, I would say.
I've
Well, you
got, I
too?
got, I got so, yeah, I got so much bouncing around in here. I got the whole
Nice.
lyrical theme that I want to do. I don't know. I got so much. I'm gonna
I
have
got
to
stuff,
share at
yeah.
some point.
Yeah. All
But
right. All right. Well, you heard it here, folks. The Senza kitchen is a cooking.
yeah, the Senza kitchen is a little slow to get your order fulfilled, but it never closes.
Open all the time.
It's one of those restaurants where you got to wait like 45 minutes from your order, but then when you get it, you're like, this was worth the wait. Yeah. And then you eat it really fast.
Yeah. The seating time is a little slow. And, you know, like, hopefully everything is worth the wait. I don't like to think that it is, but that's
what you have the rest of us for. We can confidently tell you that it's worth the wait.
Cool. Good.
All right. So moving out of a little bit of the album talk, you know, y'all have like toured, you played in a bunch of bands, like, you know, this can pertain to Senza or it can just pertain generally, but like, do you have a favorite like show or like tour memory that you'd like to share with us or reflect on?
That's a tough one.
It is. Y'all just did that Roman Nader, so.
Yeah.
And you play with Agriculture and Don, right? I don't know. I would be, it'd be a tough pick for me if I were y'all.
I mean, ZBR Fest was really awesome. That was a really fun time. California Kicks Fest was hilarious.
Yeah, Cali Kicks was so good. I had so much fun. I don't know. Definitely, like you had mentioned, seeing Nader play like every night. I want them to come back and get a redo of the United States, because it was very much just like they hopped onto our pre-existing route, and I was like, yeah, this is kind of going to be hell. We're doing like 10, 12-hour drives to get Mason's ass home to like take care of his son.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then just show up jet lagged as hell doing these 12-hour drives, being like, this is what touring the United States is like. And I just want to say, it doesn't have to be like that. Does not have to be like that.
Yeah.
Please, Nader, come back. And yeah, we'll show you a better time for sure.
Yes. Please come back. I didn't get to see them. I was in New York seeing Orchid. Conversely, but that was a tough call. When I saw Nader was coming, I almost sold my ticket, I'm not gonna lie.
Really?
Oh my god. I mean, you know, like, respectfully, Orchid, they'll mosey on out west. Like Nader, a bank from like Singapore, I don't know if that's gonna happen again. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
It was really special getting to play with them, and they're also all so sweet.
Yeah.
That's so rad. Well, that totally tracks.
I would definitely say that seeing them play so many nights in a row and just like put on such a amazing like heartfelt performance every single night, regardless of the we had a couple bummer shows and a couple like really really like packed shows on the return trip from ZBR, and they just put on an incredible performance regardless of any of the circumstances. Is very cool.
That's so fucking rad. Speaking of shows, is there anything you'd like to share with the class, maybe? Like anything that's coming up that you'd like to plug or give us a little sneak preview on?
I don't think there's
You don't anything, have to, but
I don't, you know. I mean, I think there might be something in March in Eugene.
Yeah. We have a couple like little things planned. Like we have some like at least one show. I don't know, it's kind of tricky. Mason, are you allowed to talk about
oh yeah, my wife's pregnant again. I got another kid on the way.
Oh yeah. Hey, congrats. Hell yeah.
Yeah,
that's awesome. You heard it here first. I'm not just
this is the official announcement.
That is so baby awesome. Drop EP yeah. Drop baby drop.
But so like we have a couple little things that are planned for like spring and stuff, but like a lot of like we got an offer to do something with a band that I really like, but it is like right around the time of Mason's kids like due date.
New,
so
new arrival.
Like, yeah, so we just like can't really commit to anything like that right now.
Yeah. That makes sense.
We have talks about trying to do something flying out and doing like East Coast in like July, August of 2025. Kind of the beginning of that plan is in the works right now. I'm talking to the appropriate people to make that happen. But as far as like tour plans or like local plans, it's pretty quiet in the sense
Slim
of camp right
pickings.
now.
Yeah, sadly.
No, totally valid. Well, congrats, Mason. That's really wonderful.
Hey,
And
thanks.
yeah, we're all psyched for you.
Sorry, Senza fans.
They can wait. They
Yeah,
can wait. They're
always
used to
worth the wait.
waiting, for starters,
Worth the
so
wait. That's true. That's
respectfully.
true.
We'll just keep working on the music in the meantime. Don't worry.
There you go. That's what it, I mean,
Yeah.
that's what it's at. And I mean, I'm hearing East Coast in July, August. I mean, that's not too far of a tail dog's tail wag away. So hopefully I didn't let the cat out of the bag, but we can bleep that later if we need to.
Yeah, I can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming I know that most people who love Screamo can't do math and add 1 + 1, but I feel like that was the inference anyway. So like,
Yeah.
we'll either leave that in or get rid of that if we need to. But
Yeah. I'm
anyway,
sure people can infer what they want to.
yeah, okay. So we'll leave it at that. But
Yeah, that's great.
What's we always like to ask, what's a band that you haven't played with yet that you would like love to share the stage
Oh man.
with?
Shit. That's a great question. Helen
Could
of the
be,
Unhand, Heaven in Her Arms. Ha ha.
Ooh, yeah, bring them to the US, please.
Yeah, that I'm okay, I'm so incredibly like mad jealous, like I'm like angry at how jealous I am that Frail Body is going to Japan and playing with Heaven in Her Arms. Like I'm like, you should have at least like offered to take me with you to sell merch.
Yeah,
Like that's so fucked up.
that's rude. Yeah,
We've also
screw
had
you,
like
frail body.
yeah, fuck off.
we've had blind girls offer us to play. They're like, we're coming to Eugene. Like I feel like three different times, and every single time we've been out of town for something.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Damn, that's terrible.
That'll
So
happen one day, I'm sure.
I want that to
Love
happen.
to connect that for sure.
Yeah.
What about reunion bands? Since like every band has been doing a reunion pretty
Yeah,
recently.
shout out Frail Reunion announced today.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, I mean, we got to play with Jerome's Dream, which was like quite the experience, kind of being like, hey, we wanted to do what you were doing, and then you got back together. But technically, you've been technically, if you want Sendalore, we've been an active band for more years than they have. So,
There you go.
we're more Screamo Elder than they are.
We
There
are the real Jerome's Dream now.
you go. They got Highlander.
Yeah. I don't know. I Orchid's coming to Portland in February, and I have some friends that work at the venue that they're playing at, so I tried to like sneak us in there, but I haven't gotten word back on whether or not that's going to happen. That's kind of, a little bigger than I usually aim as far as
Yeah.
like playing with other bands, but
Usually a bit of a hope and a prayer.
yeah. I mean, Orchid is a really important band to like me playing guitar. Like I learned how to play Screamo kind of just playing along to Dance Tonight Revolution tomorrow. So it'd be I'm excited to see them regardless, but that
Yeah.
would be a fun one to play.
Our first, Senza's first ever show before Helena was in the band was with Circle Texas Square, so we checked that one off early on.
Shit.
I would love to do that again though.
Yeah.
Properly, yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
properly.
as real Senza.
Yeah.
yeah. True Senza.
Nice. Well, we'll stop pressing you with all the hard questions. We'll get to some of the lighter, easier stuff near the end here. I've been waiting this entire podcast to ask more questions about Melee. Who do you main? How many stocks and weapons or no weapons? Because I fucking love Melee. So I need all these answers.
I mean, I play Fox.
Yeah, Fox
Oh, you're one of
only,
those.
Final Destination, no items.
No, Final
How's the rest of the
Destination, no
meme
items.
go?
Serious. No
Yeah.
fun. Just like the straight flat roll
Bare knuckle
platform.
brawl, baby.
I
Oh,
mean,
that's where
yeah,
like debates are
we definitely
settled. Yeah.
do no items, four stocks, 8 minute time limit.
Damn,
Okay,
okay.
float.
You do time limits on four stock? That's madness. It's five stock, no time limit.
They're not playing Melee the way we play Melee.
They're
Oh
playing,
yeah.
it's just like the competitive
We're playing
format.
by like
Yeah.
tournament standard.
They're talking like split frame shit. Like they're doing shine blocks. This is like beyond
Yeah.
us, my friend.
Y'all wave dash? Like are you on that level?
Yeah.
No
No.
oh, you know about a wave land?
Yeah, coming back onto the edge from like when you're off the edge.
Sure.
Or you
Or
can
just
also
on a
land on the
platform or
platform.
anything, yeah.
Oh yeah, when you wave dash down like diagonally, right?
Yeah.
Obnoxious.
Yeah.
For those of you who aren't, this is gonna get deep.
Yeah, we take the fun out of it. I play Jigglypuff as a specific fuck you to anyone who actually takes the game seriously too.
Tim plays Ganondorf.
Tim's the dwarf.
Ooh,
The
respect.
dwarf.
I'm a dwarf main, so I get it.
Every man's gotta have a dwarf, you know?
Everyone, I
That's amazing. I only use
Dwarf.
Kirby and it pisses off everybody for just only
Yeah.
using Kirby.
Wouldn't piss me
Pick
off,
another
bro.
character. I'm like, I'm good. I love Kirby. That's good.
Call me old
Yeah.
fashioned. I'm a three star Hyrule Kingdom unlimited time, no items kind of guy. You know?
Okay.
Really?
I like it. I
Three
like them
stock?
slow and I'm like them easy.
Three stock. Wild.
I mean, as long as you only hang out in that bottom part
Oh
and
yeah.
don't go running
Oh,
around a bunch to try to get away,
the pit.
it's all chunnel or nothing, baby. That's the crucible. That's where real spirit is forged. It's make or break. Especially with that down A that Ganondorf has. Turn you into a ping pong ball.
Yeah, exactly. Take the dark
So
dive.
have
Dark
you
dive
all gotten into
everything.
like the Project M, like the competitive like online modding shit? Do you go that far with it?
I don't have Slippy installed on my computer, but I know that Tim has played with our old ex-bandmate Spencer before.
Sweet.
Oh yeah. So
I'm
are
not
we like all
great on
getting
that one.
Dolphin emulators? Or are we running a server later? Like what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know
I'm
how
so
Slippy
down.
works, if it runs off of Dolphin or it's got its own client now, but yeah, that
I
stuff's
think,
pretty sweet.
yeah, I think you can run it off Dolphin. Yeah, I've only played Project M with Spencer,
Same. Former
former
Senza bandmate.
Senza member, fellow Melee enthusiast. It's just one of the that is just one of the necessities for to be a member of Senza is to play Smash.
Okay. Well,
Nice.
then here's a quick addendum question. Is there a character pick that you would not allow in the band?
Ice climbers.
Ice climbers?
Falco, because we hate birds.
Ooh.
That's the real answer.
Birds are for album art only.
That's awesome.
Is amazing. All right, I'm going to go with one of our standard questions I love asking near the end. It's going to make quite a jump for you at this point. What's the most illegal or dangerous thing you've done in your life that you're willing to put on a very public podcast?
In Melee.
Yeah, you can say in
In Melee,
Melee.
of course.
In
Yeah,
Melee, of course. In Melee, Minecraft, whatever.
Illegal
That's a good
or
question.
dangerous? Thank you. I thought of it myself.
Mason, did I ever tell you that I, along with in case you want to get everyone's legal names involved,
I was going to say,
I'm just
implicating
bleeping.
everyone.
I'm
Yeah, you can
bleeping
bleep all that. It's funnier if they're bleeps too.
Yeah, it is. It is for sure.
Drunk at 4 in the morning, climbed onto the roof of our high school.
Oh
Oh,
yeah,
hell
he
yeah.
did tell me
Oh.
this. Yeah, it's like a, like how tall is that building? It's huge. It's very large.
Oh, shit. How
Yeah.
was the climb? Safe, presumably? Was
No,
straight
no.
well, they were
ladder or
drunk.
no? Yeah, well, I just mean like the access to get there. Like, how was it?
It's
Sketchy?
kind of like shimmying up a pipe a little bit.
Oh my God.
And
Sketchy.
then there's a couple weird places that had footholds, but there was definitely a moment where I was being dangled over the roof by my ankles, trying to grab someone else's hand to get them up. And I like look back on that. I look back on that memory with like such like shock at the thought that I'm still alive.
I mean, the audacity of it is just incredible. I
I
respect
think,
it.
yeah, I just like didn't give a shit about myself back then, in the way that I do now.
Been there.
For I was about to say for better or for worse. It's definitely for worse. Yeah, that's the first thing that pops into my mind that isn't gonna,
I
implicate
guess
in anything.
the most fun answer I have is one that involves Helena, where I was filling in for her old band and we drove to the Grand Canyon, and they wasn't anybody manning the booth, so we just drove in and didn't pay. That was tight. And we
Hell yeah.
waited. We got there at like 1 or 2 in the morning and just waited until the sun came up. And then I just bought a bunch of weed in Las Vegas, and it still wasn't legal yet at the time. And the people in Las Vegas had been like, "Don't smoke weed at the Grand Canyon. You'll get arrested, and it's a really bad idea." And
Yeah.
then once the
Federal
sun
crime,
came
I
up,
think.
we all went on a walk, and I just smoked a bunch of weed.
Amazing.
We got back in the car, and I was like, "Hey guys, I just smoked a bunch of weed." And they're like, "You're so fucking dumb." And I was like, "Am I in trouble? Like, am I arrested?"
I mean, if you're gonna do it at the Grand Canyon for a sunrise is just like,
It was great.
I mean, that's like
Yeah, it seems
unreal because the
wild.
Grand Canyon is unreal on its own. The sunrises at the Grand Canyon, also unreal. Zorched out of your gourd? That must have been
And
awesome.
then the
Zorched out of your gourd.
person who was driving the van then fed the deer a banana peel. So I was like, all right,
Okay.
we're following the rules
So
here.
there was more harm done, is what you're saying. I feel like. All right, PSA time. Not just FaZe listeners. Do not feed the animals at national parks, please. Any parks, really. You should not be doing that. All
This is
right?
true.
Yeah.
Big agree.
So,
Big
it does
agree.
seem fun, though. It does seem fun, though.
To give a deer a banana peel?
It seems
Well,
like you should.
actually, they were throwing it to see if the deer would slip, but no items at the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, no items.
The deer's recovery is
Weed hit
very
so
bad.
much. Weed hit different when it was illegal. It just tasted better.
Yeah, because
The
your
thrill.
life was on the line for you. You had to grow it right, or else you weren't getting repeat customers.
No kidding. No kidding. So, assuming neither of you are pacifists, if you could punch any one person in the face as hard as you can with no repercussions, who would you punch and why?
Right now, Elon Musk.
Oh,
For
fuck.
what I think is very
Justified.
obvious reasons, but
Right.
he also just looks very punchable. Like it would be satisfying, I think.
He might burst. He looks like he's about to pop at any moment.
Pop.
Like he's very like oddly because he takes those steroids, but he doesn't work out, so his body's
Yeah.
just like, ugh.
But I do think that something about like owning and creating a such a universal, I mean, he didn't create it, sorry, but like owning and like running and having this final say in such a universal social media platform, and then giving that platform to like literal like fascists and Nazis deserves more than a punch in the face. But
Right.
that's what I was given, so
Yeah, fair
that'll
enough.
have to do.
Yeah, our FBI agent thanks you. They usually have to do a lot more paperwork when it gets more threatening.
Sure.
I was gonna
You're gonna get
say,
doxxed one day.
I saw that Matt Gaetz got appointed attorney general, so I was gonna say Matt Gaetz.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't even know Matt Gaetz was like went to law school. I thought he was just a moron that just failed up hard enough.
Yeah,
So I'm
like
assuming he paid his way through law school because that there's no way. Well, I guess some lawyers are idiots, so I don't know.
it can be both.
It can be both. You're right. You're totally right. Sorry, stupid lawyers. I didn't mean to discount you so right away.
Sorry, stupid lawyers.
Sorry, stupid lawyers. Smart lawyers, you're cool for now.
For now.
You got work to do. Stupid lawyers, eat shit and die. Especially Matt Gaetz. But great answers. You know,
Absolutely.
we always like to ask, what music do you listen to that could be considered like a guilty pleasure? We don't really believe in this as much anymore. Like I personally don't. I know Rob's kind of skewing more towards like no such thing as well lately, I feel like maybe.
Well, I do want to make fun of Mason for shamelessly having a brat summer. I did hear that I heard him
Dude,
discussing Charizard ZX on the pod
dude,
with Dave. So things
bro.
along that line are what we're talking about when we say guilty pleasures and cringy type of
Just
music
aired out,
that
just aired out so
could be
publicly.
considered.
I listened to that
Yeah.
record again the other day. It's so good.
It's big game, Mason.
Not my thing, but to each their own.
So not
But
a guilty
yeah,
pleasure for Mason, for sure. No.
I don't feel guilty about it, but a band that I guess could be considered a guilty pleasure, which is a band that I've been listening to since my junior year of high school, and probably the band that I've seen live the most times that is not a local band or a band that I've toured with would be Enter Shikari.
Nice.
Their entire discography, even through this newest album, Kiss for the Whole World, is like, it is just always, the CDs are always in my car. Like, anytime I'm like in a bad mood and need a pick me up, like, that is one of the bands I go to. Like, I fucking love that band. And, like, I don't know, they have like decent, like, leftist, like, grassroots rebellion, like, lyrics, you know? Like, it's cool.
Yeah.
I like Inner Shikari also.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
they do.
was gonna say I've been really liking the new Tyler the Creator album out that just came out. It's really good.
Nice.
I haven't checked that yet.
I mean, I guess I don't know. I don't know. Is he big enough to be a guilty pleasure now? I'm not sure. I wouldn't qualify him,
Tyler?
but I know
I'd
people are
say
like on
so.
the fence about him a lot of the time because of all God knows what at any given point. But yeah.
He
I
does
did what
questionable things.
He has done questionable things. He continues to do them, but I guess that's his whole brand. So,
That's what he does, yes.
but yeah, I listened to that album. I did like it. I think I'm still pretty hung up on Igor personally, but
I like
I get
Igor.
that.
Igor's
Igor's good.
good.
I mean, he hasn't put out a bad album since like Cherry Bomb, maybe. I didn't
I
love
like
Cherry Bomb.
I've liked most of the stuff he's put out, honestly. I've been listening since Bastard before, so.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it's funny seeing him now because it's just like you think back on what's that like old Odd Future Wolfgang King Kill Them All video where they're like drinking a pill smoothie and like vomiting in the streets of Los Angeles.
It's the Earl song.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's like it's funny thinking of like that's where that all
It's
started. Now
crazy.
he's like this like masterful like opus maker. It's so sick.
Come a long way.
I know. Crazy, crazy how musicians will do that.
Evolve.
This is a question that I've grown to love very dearly because you know we are not just a phase we have some haters on the team and you know we do love to hate. We try to keep a lid on it, but it's in there. You know, we got to know what's your unpopular music take? Let the hate flow through
Unpopular music
you.
take.
Yeah,
I
like I'm
feel like
talking,
I
they're
have.
throwing pies, tomatoes, you know.
I feel like I have a lot of like niche unpopular music takes.
Even better.
Like,
Better, let's get it.
I don't know. I get mad when I don't like when a screamo band plays a D beat. I don't like when a pop punk band plays a blast beat.
Oh shit.
Like, I don't know. I don't know why, but I'm
Damn.
just like, okay, DB, like, it needs to be like crust. It needs to be like neo crust, like that kind of shit. And then like blast
Damn.
beats, I'm like, if you're not playing like PV or grind or black metal or something influenced by those, like, what do you like?
Ah, damn.
It,
Rod, I think
I
this play is
gatekeep
about us.
gatekeep the
don't
blast beats for sure.
keep your blast beats out of my mouth. I don't know. But those are like niche takes where I'm just
Right.
like I don't know. I will hate on just about anything, but if someone like has a defense for it, I also want to hear it because I'm like, yeah, I'm happy to be wrong. Like, prove me wrong, please. But yeah, I just get like little things like that. I'm just like, I don't want to hear that.
I
Get that
was
shit away.
when we were on tour. Tim and I both went to percussion school, and so. It's hard for us to like. I just spend most of my time watching drummers play, and I've said to Tim recently, like I feel like I can tell if someone knows what they're doing on drums if they can play triplets. Like, can you play triplets? You know what you're doing. Like, hey, that's a really
Right.
low bar, but like, I don't know. That's my take. I feel like I watch a drummer and I go, they just stayed in the 16th grade the whole time, and that's fine. Like, you can do lots of really cool stuff, but like, I just like, did you play triplets at all? No? Okay, never mind.
Damn. All right. A lot of drummers' feelings about to get hurt. Good.
Good.
Get
Drummers need to
better.
be taken down
Standard
another notch. They've already down so many notches. We need to take drummers down yet another notch.
It's so
Sorry,
funny because
Mason.
I feel like a lot of times like drummers are either just like they hate themselves and they think they're terrible, or they're like, no, I'm actually really good. And like there's never like a middle ground of like, all right.
Oh, I mean, Mason
Oh,
is
more
definitely like
modest.
the best performer of Senza, for sure.
I don't know about that, but I don't know.
I'm willing to believe it.
I'm very lucky to get to play with the two of them. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, when you thought about hot takes, I just think of something silly that I say. Sometimes, if ever I hear the Dave Matthews Band, I go, "This is a joke, right? You guys are playing a prank on me, right? This guy's doing a bit, isn't he?"
That band only exists to dump human waste off of
I was gonna
bridges.
say, what's that? Our homies in Live Longer, Burn Everything literally have a song called, I think it was like the Dave Matthews Band Chicago River Incident or something.
Oh,
Named their
great.
song,
Perfect.
and they like post that on the
That's so
anniversary
funny. That's
and
so
everything.
funny.
Yeah, I also just
Oh, man.
love, I think the Dave Matthews Band exists just to have those like gifts you can always find of. Is his name actually Dave Matthews? I don't know. But like him like doing like his wiggly like hyper ligament dancing is like just
Ligament
endlessly. It look like
dancing.
he looks like he's about to fly away. Like it's so funny.
That's great.
Always confuse Matthew Goodband and Dave Matthews for some reason.
What's Matthew Good Band?
What? What's Matthew Goodband?
Did he say Matthew Good Band?
No, wait. Yeah.
You confuse Dave Matthews Band with Matthew Good Band?
Yeah.
What the hell is Matthew
Nice.
Good Band?
Band that does fucking. What's that song?
That's a
It was a
real
big
band?
popular. Yes!
Is
Are you
this a
fucking
band
with
or is this
me?
a
I
guy
can't tell
who's
if you're
like,
fucking with me. Hold on.
no, I'm dead serious.
Hold
I've
on.
never
I've
heard of
never heard of this in my life either.
Matthew Good Band.
I was trying
It
to Google
sounds
it.
like
I
a
don't know what
filler
you're talking
character
about.
name or something. Like, hey, what's his last name? I don't know. He's a musician. Good band.
Matthew
Hold
Goodband.
on. Matthew
Yeah.
Good Band.
Matthew Frederick
Yeah.
Robert Good was the lead
Yeah.
singer and songwriter for the Matthew Goodband, one of the most successful
Right.
alternative
Matthew
rock
Good Band.
bands.
And they have that song. Is it Bodies? Matthew Good Band. I think it's called Bodies.
Isn't that Drowning Pool?
Let the bodies in the floor.
Oh, no. Oh, Everything Is Automatic. That has
Everything's
a
on. All
lyric
right,
about
I'll
bodies in
check
it.
that out. It's who else is
It
in the
was
band?
popular. It was like big
David bass
popular on radio
player.
when I was like 10.
Bass
That's why. Okay, now can you see why I confused the two of them? They don't sound
No,
alike at
because
all, which is gonna
I'm
be far
talking about a completely
shocker.
terrible.
I knew as soon as I said it, I fucked up. I
No.
knew as soon as I said it, I fucked up.
Because Dave Matthews Band. Band isn't his last name.
It's the Matthew Good Band, bro. You've never heard Everything Is Autumn. 166,000 monthly listeners on Spotify.
This is
Hello, Time
wow.
Bomb, Load Me Up. Hello, Time Bomb,
What?
Load Me Up. That's like the two biggest hits. You straight up never heard Matthew Good
You're
Band.
speaking a
Once again,
foreign
we are
language
talking
to
about
me.
two very different things, Rob.
I
I'm
know.
baffled that
Are
you get
you?
them
Is it
confused.
because they're
You're
Canadian?
upset that
You've
I
never
don't know.
heard them? Is
No, I just.
that what it is?
Do you think Dave
It's like a
Matthews'
big
last name
alt.
includes the word band? That's what I want to
No.
know.
No, it's Matthew. Okay, Matthew Goodband and Dave Matthews. I didn't have a reason for mixing them. Fuck you. I don't have a reason for mixing them up. I just said I get them mixed up.
Okay.
They don't sound anything alike either. Dude, you do the next fucking question. I don't have a
I don't even
show.
know if I can do
Fuck.
it, man.
Oh,
Okay.
shit.
So we like to do a hard left turn with as we're wrapping up.
This is
And
going to be a hard left.
yeah, so this obviously it's kind of it's rough out here right now, like to put it as gently as possible. But we always like to do the thought of exercise of like, if you had the ability to give the entire world a gift of some kind, it could be a concept, it could be an item, like could be, universal basic income. Like we've heard all kinds of answers. What kind of gift would you grant to the world and why?
God, fuck.
I know, hard pivot after the Matthew Good Band thing. We need
I
to.
off, man.
Yeah, I will go conceptual and just give everyone the gift of understanding, just like being able to, see where other people are coming from and not like, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of like hate and bias that are based on not understanding other people, and not being willing to or wanting to, and just, giving people, just giving people that, I think would go a long way.
I agree.
I mean,
Great answer.
I this is like a really kind of silly answer, but also feel like serious at the same time. So Helena gives them that, and then I everyone also then does a strong dose of acid, and then they like reflect together.
Right.
I feel like a collective planetary hallucinate, like a trip like that. I feel like that would do good for all of us. Just like everyone needs to chill out and like kind of reconnect, and then we'll get back to ground zero in a little bit. We'll try again.
Yeah.
And I opt for mushrooms instead of acid. I had a
Sure,
horrible acid experience, but I'm okay with like a little bit of mushrooms.
psychedelic of your
Yeah.
choice.
You know how there's
Okay,
like in
perfect.
space there's just clouds of alcohol that have just like naturally formed because the universe is big enough for that kind of shit to happen. Like imagine we're
Yeah.
just flying through space and we go through like a nebula cloud of psilocybin.
There you go.
Like damn, it's like right into the atmosphere.
Funny enough, to come full circle to the beginning of Senza, or at least the beginning of my time in Senza, when I tried out for the band, it was after had a very bad acid trip the night before and hadn't slept at all, and I was like in a very bad mental place when I
Oh,
tried out
shit.
for the band Senza. So the acid trip is is relevant at least to my experience in this band.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Damn. So the bad acid trip was kind of a gift in a way.
Kind of.
It's not,
No.
doesn't have to
Bad acid trips are bad. They
be.
suck. Wild. Well, what do we have? What's new for the band coming up this year? Anything you guys can chat about? I guess we already kind of covered that. Probably just do the shout-outs, plugs, causes. Anything you'd want to speak about before we say goodbye?
I try to say things like, don't forget that your fellow person that you may disagree with, and they may have stupid opinions, is just a working class person who's been misled. And I think that we're better off when we, as a bumper sticker I saw a long time ago, it says, when everyone does better, everyone does better. And I feel like that's the vibe I like to try and give off, you know.
Yeah. Free Palestine for the
Yeah, that.
working class, for the working class, by the working class. Get a drum lesson from Mason.
Sure, yeah.
He does triplets.
He
Free
does
Palestine.
triplets.
Free
Yeah.
Palestine.
Free Palestine.
Yeah. Yeah, Senza doesn't have a lot coming up other than that split that we mentioned and, working on writing new material. Currently I play in Senza and a band called The Names of Our Friends that put out an EP recently, and a band called Tolls that also put out an EP recently. Both of those bands are also working on new material and are working on touring and stuff like that. So keep an eye out for those if you want something Senza adjacent. Yeah.
Make your
All
mom
right.
listen to Senza, though. That's what you should
Yeah.
do.
Oh, yeah. Well, this has
That's
been
awesome.
awesome, informational, enlightening, and hilarious. And I super appreciate that you both came on to chat with me, Elias, or Elias and I should say. Yeah, really appreciate it.
Yeah,
Glad to be
thank you all
here.
so
Yeah.
much. Yeah. And congrats again on the new release. We're looking forward to what comes next for y'all.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, don't you?